letter to the Romans. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may increase? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, so that you obey their desires. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Grace and hope to you in the name of our risen Lord. That was the opening line from Bishop during his Easter message to all of us. Bishop Dan Shereen was elected to the episcopacy in November of 2022. He was appointed to serve at the Northern Illinois Conference in 2023. And then in September of 24, his assignment grew to include the Wisconsin Annual Conference. Bishop Dan has been serving as a pastor in Wisconsin for over 30 years. This year, 2026, he has declared a year of grace. Now, we spent our Lenten season talking about grace. We looked to the fountain of grace as a place for us to return to, a source that can fill us and that brings us peace. As the year continues, we continue to align our hearts to not only know of God's grace, but to believe it. To believe in God's grace. To accept it. And after that, to share it. I pray that August may be a month of grace-filled moments for you, and that your time with us will bring grace to the forefront of your life and your mind. At our annual church meeting, and at all the annual church meetings of Wisconsin Annual Conference churches, the bishop sent a video that we shared. He invited us to consider this idea: grace for the newness of life. For the newness of life. Then he challenged us to live by grace. In an intentional effort to onboard us all into this profound yet deeply blessed time of grace, the bishop wrote an article saying, "Can 2025 be a year of grace?" That article came out in December in the midst of our busy Advent season as we were preparing for Christmas. But even amongst those preparations, we were asked, can we prepare our hearts to make a whole year of grace? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Now, I have this core understanding that in order for you to speak with someone, you have to get to the same terms to start with. That we should all start on common ground. It's true in relationships. I remember when my cousin said, "Oh, pray for me. Tonight we're having our DTR. I said, "Ooh, what's that?" She said, "We're defining the relationship." Never heard of that. It worked out well. She's married to him and they have 6 kids and they live happily ever after, right? But in order to have a good conversation, you have to speak the same language. You have to understand the same ideas. You have to share in the same information. You have to start somewhere. And so I think in order for us to explore this idea of grace, we should start with a common knowledge of grace. I looked in 3 sources to find out what grace was all about. Starting with Webster's Dictionary. It's the unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. It's a virtue that comes from God. It's a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. Grace is an approval or a special favor, a disposition, or an act or instance of kindness, courtesy, or clemency. They do a pretty good job. Yeah. But then our bishop defined it this way. Grace is the unmerited upbuilding, unconditional love God extends to all people and to the whole creation. Grace is always among us, working in love. I like that because there's action there, right? You know I like action. Right, so then we move into John Wesley, who is credited with being the one who started the United Methodist Church, or the Methodist Church. And he says, grace is the enabling presence of God in one's life. The enabling presence of God in one's life. John Wesley talks about grace as a relational concept, God's active presence and transformational power in our lives. Not as a substance or a thing that you can pick up. Not a salve that acts as a cure-all for everything, but rather a divine presence, an energy working within us that enlightens, convicts, forgives, liberates, assures, empowers, and strengthens. It helps us to be what God intended for us to be. Grace helps us to be what God intended humans to be, faithful creatures who love God and their neighbor, and whose love manifests through works of piety and mercy. Wesley believed there were three types of grace. We read that often, but all of them are lived out in the acts of mercy or piety. But this idea is that we have to live, in order to live a full spiritual life, you must act out on the grace for which you received. It's care for one's inward soul as well as acts of outward holiness that help us to live grace. So, we're all on the same page, right? We've got a definition or three to start from. But that leaves us with the question of how do we live out a year of grace? I'm sorry, I don't have a checklist for you. But I dare say the first step might be that we make room. Make room in our lives and our hearts to live as people of grace. I want to tell you, I'm not a shopper, so this is probably really funny to those of you who know me now. But as a teenager, I loved going shopping with my two BFFs. And we would go to the mall. And we would go to the mall for hours. And sometimes we would buy things that were similar. And one time, the three of us all bought the same outfit, just in different colors. We were so excited to wear it. I think we had a concert coming up, but we were all going to wear it to school, to our concert. We wanted everyone to know that we had the same outfit in three colors. We were pretty excited. Well, two of us got to keep that outfit. One of my friend's mothers made her return it. I think the reasons were it revealed too much of your body. That was one of them. But the second one was that she hadn't prepared her closet for a new item before she had gone shopping. I never understood why she couldn't keep that outfit. But the rule in her house was you must purge or clean out items before you go shopping. You must have an available hanger if you're going to get something new to hang. I recall when the two of us showed up in our outfits and she wore something else, how sad I was. We wanted everyone to know that we were like the three musketeers, and here we were two and one. All these years later, maybe I understand it a little bit. If you don't intentionally make room for something, if you don't intentionally clean out something old or something that's taking up space, how do you have room for something new? The thing is, I don't think grace is new to most of you. You've heard the word. You've experienced the power of grace. You've even maybe shared it or delighted in grace. You sure have sung about grace in this place. So, what can we do this month to intentionally live out grace? What if we practiced a grace that allowed us to demonstrate our unity in Christ as a faith community? Ooh, that's a big one. If we practiced grace in a way that demonstrated our unity in Christ as a faith community. What if we simply just paid attention to grace? You know how it is when you, like, get a new car or a new pair of shoes or something, and then you notice, like, everybody else had those same shoes, but you never saw them before until you had them. I wonder if grace could be like that for us, if we were so in tune with it, like it's something new, that we could just spot it as we experience it each day. What if we made grace part of our daily practice, not just our table grace, our prayers of thanksgiving, but offering an extension of love? What if we woke up every day and thought, I am going to do it today, and if I go to bed and I have not yet done it, I'm going to find a way to offer grace? Right? But I think before you can do that, you got to make room. You got to clear stuff out so you're ready. Now, you might have heard that there are three types of grace: prevenient grace, justifying grace, and sanctifying grace. I dare say they're not three different types of grace, but three stages or experiences of grace. Prevenient grace, from the Latin word precede, is the grace that comes before you know it. Before you know you need it. The grace that's just like sitting there. There's an image of a front porch or of a house that's utilized often in the United Methodist Church to help us understand grace. So picture, if you will, a house with a front porch. Prevenient grace is that front porch that's just sitting there, just waiting for you to come and rest, to enjoy. And then there's the second step, justifying grace. That's when God makes things right. That's the pardon or the forgiveness, the time when we reconcile with God. It's when we cross over the threshold from unbelief to belief. It's the door. We have to know the door is there. We have to be willing to go through the door. But the door is offered by God. Grace is not of our own accord, but received as a gift from God. And then finally, there's this idea of sanctifying grace. Now, that house doesn't just have a porch and a door, but it has rooms, right? And if it's a house like ours, it has many, many rooms that do different things, right? But in each of those rooms, there's an opportunity for us to move towards faithful practices, to become more faith-filled, to mature in our understanding and our opportunity of sharing in God's grace. That's sanctifying grace. So if prevenient grace is the porch of the house and justifying grace is the doorway, sanctifying grace represents the rooms in the expansive dwelling of God's presence with and purposes for humanity. I hope you've all experienced prevenient grace. I hope that you have gotten to a point in your faith journey where you've accepted the justifying grace, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and that God desires to be made right with us. I hope that we can be moving on to perfection, as John Wesley says, and experience acts of sanctifying grace, and that we can do it together. May we all seek to be new creations in Christ. May we work towards knowing God better and to living out our faith in more ways through the grace of God. And may you joyfully embark on this month of grace. May you continue in this year of grace, being moved to act with works of piety and mercy and inward faith, so that you too may believe that it's because of God's great love for us and by God's grace that you have been saved. With God's help, may it be so.